OTB.
Bemused, I think, is probably how he feels in his head. Bemused how they could go from where they were last season, 99 points, 67 games unbeaten at home, to a situation where they could be on the edge today of losing six games in a row at home.
OTB live commentary. Never miss the action right here on OTB Sports Radio. Keep up to date with the latest scores on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Sports app. Live score updates straight to your phone. The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
Now, you're very welcome back. So we're talking Republic of Ireland, nil, Luxembourg 1. There is a list in Irish football, as we said earlier. You don't want to be on it. And it has things like Cyprus 06, Liechtenstein 95, Macedonia 97. We are now adding Luxembourg in Dublin 2021 to that list. Bad night for all concerned. Seamus Coleman said he was embarrassed. The FAI chairman, Roy Barrett, has been speaking in the past while on Stephen Kenny, not because of the result last night. There's already a planned FAI EGM on today, but Stephen Kenny naturally came up. So he said, "I've got a lot of confidence and respect in Stephen and the team and what they're trying to achieve. Last night was a setback. That's all it is. I've healthy respect for what they're trying to achieve and how they're going about it." And then Roy Barrett went on to say, "One game isn't going to throw everything up in the air, and it shouldn't. There's no doubt this has been a difficult year for Steve and his team and the team itself and everything that's been thrown at them. My observation is that they've shown huge enthusiasm, a lot of professionalism, very resilient, and they're pretty committed and have a lot of conviction in what they're trying to achieve. And I support them on that." So that's FAI Chairman Roy Barrett speaking in the past hour or so. Here's a short clip of Stephen Kenny at his press conference last night.
"We're very disappointed to lose the game. We can't get away from that. Like, there's no point in hiding from that, you know. I think that's obvious. I think, listen, the players' morale was good going into the game. Their attitude was good. I think they were determined to get a result. It wasn't a complacency. We knew that Luxembourg had pushed Ukraine tight last year in 1-0, and Ukraine had won that group with Portugal and Serbia 3-2. We knew that they had done well and had taken points in a lot of points in the Nations League, so we weren't complacent in any way. But it ended up being a pretty even match, which is disappointing. Obviously, we'd more to play, but you know, we've missed it. James, obviously, we thought James had scored. It would have been an outstanding goal, team goal, in the first half. But we didn't create enough, to be honest, in that period. And you know, So we're quite disappointed with that, you know, very disappointed, to say the least."
"You said in your programme notes about, again, after defeating Belgrade, you know, becoming that more progressive footballing nation. Do you think you're getting that point across to the players?"
"Listen, we played really well in Serbia tonight. It was an exceptional display. We probably deserved to come out with a point, but we matched them over the 90 minutes in terms of the way we played. But today was certainly a step back. I think what it showed me today is that, and I'm not making excuses at all, it showed me that a lot of players struggle with the physical capacity of trying to play two games in 3 days, because a lot of them are not playing for their clubs. And I think that was very evident to quite a few players. And I think it wasn't their psychological preparation or their determination, actually, you know. They all love playing for their country. They wanted to do better than they did. Some players struggle to get anywhere near where they did the other night."
Stephen Kenny speaking there post-match last night. Very happy to say we have David Snaid, journalist, with us, who was in the stadium, and former Republic of Ireland international Gary Breen as well. Gary, overall reaction to last night and the performance and the result?
One of huge disappointment, really. I think we build this as a must-win game. We predicted that this was an opportunity to build some confidence, to end this dismal, winless run. And unfortunately, it just went from bad to worse, really. And that's the frustration more than anything, because we should be able to deal with Luxembourg at home. That's not being disrespectful to them, who I felt played very well in the game on the evening. I thought they were organised. But I think when you come up against teams who are organised and having a good showing, then it's up to you to really enforce what you want them to do, what you want to do to them, and make it very difficult. And I felt as well as we started against Serbia in terms of our shape, I just didn't think we did that against Luxembourg. The frustration for me ultimately was at times, certainly in that opening period, how often we gave the ball away, and you lose any type of momentum there. And even the fact, Joe, like central midfielders, Knight and Cullen. Now, the biggest thing for a centre midfielder is never to be robbed from behind. It's the one thing you can never happen to you, that you get stolen the ball off you from behind. And it happened to our two centre midfielders in the opening 5 minutes. And you just think, oh, this is a bad start, lads. Then Brown as well, a couple of minutes later, kicks the ball out of play. And you're thinking, this is not the start we wanted. And that was the frustration, that it just allows the opposition just to feel really comfortable within their surroundings, in a way that we saw in previous campaigns. I mentioned it to you before. Do you remember when Georgia came to Lansdowne and we're popping the ball around, we couldn't get near them?
Yeah.
That's the biggest frustration for me more than anything.
It's funny, that point jumped out to me as much as anything. And we had David Myler and Kev Kilbane on earlier on. And look, I just listed off a load of those moments that you've referenced as well. And the two lads said, look, they happen, and they do happen. Like, in isolation, each of those moments, of course, they can happen. It's just, it was throughout the night, you know. Gary, I mean, you can't implement a passing game or build any kind of rhythm or put Luxembourg on the back foot if they keep happening so often. And it just seemed to be a breakdown so often last night, for whatever reason, either sloppiness, tiredness, maybe some certain players struggling to, you know, hit the levels they need to hit. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. But listen, and this is something that I touched on after the Serbia game, in the fact that we started that first half so well. Likewise, we started reasonably well against England, but what happens is when you play against better players, they work out, okay, Ireland are doing this really well, let's try and find space elsewhere, let's work it. And you've got a problem solve within the game then. You've got to adjust. You know, we started well, they're going to change it, we've got to adjust. And the frustration for me is that for a passing team, which this team is built at, you're so unopposed at times. And this is the frustration for me. I was literally... Well, I ain't got no hair at the moment, but I would literally be pulling it out, because Kieran Clark's on the left-hand side of a three, which ultimately you've got so much space and time there. No one's challenging you, and unopposed, we're kicking it out.
Yeah.
Ender Stevens giving the ball away more than I've ever seen him do. And it's not just things like that, Joe, in terms of being in possession of the ball and then giving it back to the opposition just to give them a chance to have a breather, feel good about themselves. But what we're really guilty of over the last couple of games, it really infuriates me, is we give away so many fouls, cheap fouls. And it's as if, like, the desire to be competitive and to be quite physical. But the reality is you're just giving a foul away and just letting the pressure. We did it from back to front, not just defenders giving away fouls in and around our box. I'm not talking about that at all. Our midfielders get close, foul. Suddenly then the opposition has a breather. Our forwards get close, foul. They get a breather again when they're under a bit of pressure facing their own goal. And that's something that has to be addressed. And that's something certainly that I had to learn very quickly as a young player playing for Ireland, because you don't really experience it so much. Well, certainly back then you didn't in the Premier League, because it was very much a physical game. Obviously, the continental players coming over and would feel any little bit of contact, you'd run past them and they'd fall over. And you had to learn that very quickly. These players have to learn it.
Yeah. David, very welcome, a warm welcome to you as well. The thing which jumped out is that whenever Ireland did put good passages of play together, and I'm not saying exceptional passages, I'm saying good passages of play, like, they got joy. Like, it wasn't impossible, you know? I mean, it was still a team ranked 98th in the world. Like, Brown and Brady in the 70th minute put together a few passes. Cross was in. It was the overhead kick for Collins. There was the Collins chance, obviously, early on. You know, those moments, it didn't require rocket science either, was the thing which made the sloppiness so frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, there was a point, obviously, that chance where Ireland did play, it was very simple football and seemed to just cut Luxembourg open, and James Collins missed that chance. It was a very good save, but it did actually seem at that point, it was like, well, there you go. This is how easily they could be got at. And there was a period in that first half around maybe in 25-35 minutes where Ireland looked as if they were putting a bit of pressure on. They just couldn't really, other than that Collins chance, they just couldn't really create anything. And then it just seemed to be Luxembourg, as Gary was saying there, with good teams realising what they have to do. Luxembourg kind of just realised, well, actually, this isn't actually too bad. We've weathered the storm here a little bit. Ireland ran out of steam a little bit, and it just kind of felt, I don't know if it was a case of panicking or just having a total lack of confidence then, but all the other chances in the second half were really half chances, and Luxembourg were the team, even though they gave up possession, Luxembourg were the team who were comfortable. And I know it's saying that because it was a late goal, it makes it all the worse. But I don't think anyone could really argue with what happened, because Luxembourg's game plan walked the street, and the really frustrating thing was they just weathered that storm and just copped on really how Ireland were playing and how easy it was. And it's just Ireland didn't have anything else in them on that day. And the fact that Stephen Kenny, was interesting that Stephen made that point about the physicality of it, or just players not capable, because speaking to other people then around the place, that sense wasn't there leading into the game. There was a real strong sense of morale around the group after the Serbia game, even though it was a defeat, just in how they played. And like, the mood was good, training by all accounts was good. Like, there didn't seem to be that sense around the camp that this was coming, and it was hitting like a bit of a ball from the blue. But it was like, actually, Gary was known from the tackle point of view, but you kind of saw the pattern of how it was going to be after about 5-10 minutes, and that's the kind of a bit of an annoying thing, you know.
Yeah, Ireland didn't get better as it went on, Gary. You know, David's talking about Luxembourg weathering the storm, and Luxembourg almost realizing actually there's not such a big gulf here. We keep going here. There might be something in this for us. And Ireland didn't respond. I mean, by the end, it was totally disjointed. That McLean and Alan Brown wingbacks, Shane Long, you know, running around a bit. Like, geez, it wasn't like that was a horrific last 10 minutes for Luxembourg.
No, and my notes just looking at the game there, Joe. As David said, there, I've got here 68 minutes. I've wrote. Luxembourg are sensing the win, and they went after the win. I felt they did. I think they generally felt they were going to do that. And I agree with you there in terms of, you can make tactical decisions where you think you can really impact on the game and challenge late on. But I, for the life of me, I couldn't understand why play Alan Brown at right wing back. You know, if you think about Alan Brown, all his strengths is attacking the box from deep. And then counter that also, or add to that, the quality of the balls that Robbie Brady was putting in from that right-hand side. And you're kind of thinking, well, listen, why don't you put him in a right wing back role and literally say, listen, don't come back. Seamus can deal with that that side. Just stay up there. We're going to get the ball out to you and just use your wonderful left foot, which he did. I mean, some of those deliveries were just incredible. And you know, that's the frustration for me. And Joe, just quoting what you said there, it's not rocket science in terms of how we're trying to play. And I think at times, I certainly felt this going into this game, that I think there's a chain of thought that if we don't stick with Stephen Kenny, then we've got to revert back to the hoof ball or whatever people call it. We don't have to do that. This is the way this Ireland team is going to go forward now. Whether or not whoever's in charge, we won't revert to that style of football now, because it's redundant to a certain extent. And these players can play football out from the back. They didn't prove it last night, but they can do it. And I just feel that at times that people think, well, listen, if we don't stick with Stephen Kenny now, we've got to go back to those dark moments. I just don't understand why it is so black and white.
It was interesting there. Just, I can't remember if it was Roy Barry who said it, you're mentioning there about talking about his enthusiasm, professionalism, kind of was a commitment and conviction in what they're doing. But that's literally everything Seamus Coleman said wasn't there at the end of the game. And like, Seamus Coleman's interview at the end of that game kind of spoke volumes really for just how angry he was. And it was actually, I saw someone make the point, he's got that whole post-match honesty down now at this stage from everything that's happened at Everton. But like, you'll do well. We could have a career in media training after that, at the end of his career. But like, I just think, you know, it was really bad. I can't remember what point it was, because I actually haven't got me from the match. But there was a point, I think it was in the second half, where Colm was trying to drive forward and trying to inject just some sort of positivity and some sort of just injection of pace and a bit of urgency. And you're kind of thinking, that shouldn't be coming from a fella playing centre-back.
Oh, well, listen, it can come from that in terms of really like dominant players. But at the same time, there was also an example late on where he tries this big switch of play from right-hand side at centre-half. So he was guilty as well, giving the ball away. You know, we can put, because Seamus is such a captain to be so proud of as a player, as a person and everything, but he was guilty of it as well. That's the frustration.
Could I ask you about that, Gary? Because I wondered. So it jumped out to me that when Callum Robinson got the ball in a bit of space, in the first half in particular, I suspect, by the way, he's one of the players Stephen Kenny's talking about when he says not fit enough, because Robinson looked like a threat early on and wilted, and maybe two games in quick succession is too much for him when he hasn't really played in the last while. But that struck me as if at half time or at some stage, the point had been made, can we get the ball quicker to Robinson? Can we just get, you know, let's get him one-on-one with his man. And like, it happened in Belgrade, it happened here in the first half for the Collins chance. There's joy there. And that almost jumped out as if Coleman is thinking, we're not moving the ball quick enough, so I'm just going to take this into my own hands and I'm going to try and spread the play quickly. Because our midfielders, I mean, things slowed down, and David Myler and Kevin Kilbane made the point that about Cullen and Knight, that a lot of their football was in front of Luxembourg. It was getting on the ball, but, you know, very deep and very... If you're Luxembourg, it's like, lads, play there all you want, no problem. Away you go. I mean, you're getting the passing stats up, but it's not hurting us. So I wonder if all of that's connected, the Coleman long ball, trying to get it to Robinson more quickly and him feeling he should just bypass midfield.
Yeah, listen, I understand, you know, your kind of what you're trying to say there, but he'll know, Seamus, that those big raking passes are easier to defend. And if you make them, you've got to commit them. And even if you do make it, the distance that ball's travelled, it doesn't disrupt the team. It doesn't get you. Okay. It doesn't get Robinson in a 1v1 situation because you just adjust. It's floated so much. So the frustration for me, ultimately, in terms of how they were set up, Luxembourg, to begin with, which was a four and that tight midfield five or whatever, but the distance between those two units was so tight that it was very difficult to play 10 balls as such. But also, Joe, that Luxembourg defence was pressed quite high that I was thinking at times, just turn them. Just leave a lovely little ball in there. It makes them drop. It makes them rethink it. And certainly when you saw Robbie Brady come on in the second half, do you remember that run he made from the heart of midfield?
Yeah, first thing.
Through the heart of their defence. And suddenly they went, whoa, drop back. And
yes.
It's moments like that, that understanding that's got to come, that's saying, well, listen, make the run, give yourself up. They'll drop, we'll then create space in the 10, and we're just a bit, well, not a bit, we're just predictable at that stage. And it's so frustrating. I mean, when I knew I was coming on today, after I was hoping I was going to be talking positively, we're building, we're slowly but surely going down the right track, and then suddenly that performance, wow.
And how damaging do you think this is then, Gary? You know, for instance, if I was to give you a sense of the Irish papers here in the main, they're saying things like, you know, huge scrutiny now on Stephen Kenny and big pressure. And I mean, most like Kevin Kilbane and David Myler said, you really can't judge an international manager until he's had two campaigns. And you've got to be fair to Stephen Kenny. Paul McGrath is in the Sunday World. He's saying time for Kenny to go now, which I think is far more premature than anybody would say. But how damaging then this defeat to Kenny and his tenure, do you think?
I think it is damaging, but I agree kind of with the lads as such. You know, we've got to see this through. We've committed to it. We've got to see it through. I don't think there should be any real, massive decision right now. But as we identify going into this game, Joe, and I know we've got the friendly, but it's the length of time between the next competitive games that they'll have to stew on this. And this is a result now that, for all the talk about we played well and we hear so much of it, to be perfectly honest, don't we? In terms of because the run's been that bad, we hear a lot of references back to Slovakia. We played really well in that. We lost. Played really well at times against Serbia. Yeah, we lost. And I'm not about just results. I promise you I'm not. But ultimately, you're there to get results. And now everyone's talking about he has to have time. Now, there's that old saying in football, isn't there? You need time to be successful. Well, the reality is you need to be successful to be given time.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest concern for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm clutching at straws and being pedantic by saying we lost on penalties in Slovakia, but doesn't make it any much better.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you need some luck as well to just change fortune and get momentum. I'm sure you've been, Gary, in teams. I mean, the Irish rugby team seem to be stuck in this in the Six Nations even, where the players are promising you that things are going well behind the scenes, as is happening under Stephen Kenny, and yet there's no evidence of it on the pitch, and people are really starting to lose faith, and then it just turns and it happens, and suddenly whatever that gap is between training ground and pitch is closed, and things go from there, and the Irish rugby team kind of got over that hump.
Yeah,
that's what we're kind of hoping for here at the moment, but it's definitely based more on hope than evidence at the moment.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I in the build up to this, the game last night, I likewise would have said, like, the players are talking about confidence, and from the outside looking in, you're saying, well, listen, it's difficult to say you're being confident when you're on this winless run. But I've said to this, you feel within that group, even though the results don't probably back it up, that you feel you're on the cusp of something. And I believe them. I do believe that they felt, we're about to have something. But these type of results make it very difficult, and we'll really chisel away at that confidence. Of course it will. And listen, there are mitigating circumstances in terms of what's had to be faced in the pandemic or the players that are missing. But there are still developments that have happened that will be asked questions of Kenny. Of course they will. The staff situation, you know, they may well be able to say, listen, it was just, no, we're growing on, but that wasn't great, was it? The fact that the ideal way of playing initially was thrown out of the way in terms of playing with one holding to advance because he suddenly realised, no, we can't do it. Then we've gone to a back five. So it's not as if the philosophy that he'll have built up over those 2 years with the under-21s, and everyone's talking about give him time and give him backing, and I believe that. I do believe that. But there is a counter-argument, Joe, to say how much more backing. I don't think anyone can be accused of not backing him because of the fact I can't remember, and this is, I generally don't believe a manager of Ireland has had the support that he's had across the board in terms of the players wanting him, the media, the supporters. Everyone was desperate for Stephen to do well. He was given a job with 2 years to really look at the situation, to work with the next group of players under 21, which is unprecedented as such, because you may say under 21 managers do get the job, but he got the senior job before he'd even kicked the ball with the under 21s. Mm. So you give him that, this winless run, the staff situation. You know, it's difficult to say we have not backed him. And then everyone's saying, well, listen, you've got to back him. You've got to write this competition off, this World Cup. Before we'd even lost the games, you're thinking, and I find that difficult to agree with.
No, I understand. Could you argue, though, in defence of Kenny, and look, it's a hard morning to be arguing too strongly in defence of what's going on, but could you argue things like the change to two holding midfielders and then the change to 3/5 at the back, depending, that's actually just a sign of flexibility and you know that's a positive talks, and actually his core philosophy hasn't actually changed at all, that the you know, they're just details
he said about that the team had to be tactically flexible and to build up to this game, and of course you have to be, because the idealistic views that you have in the classroom in coaching courses, the reality is very different. And the reality, Joe, is so different from under 21 football to senior football. The jump is massive. Now, there was a period there where, because of how brilliantly Stephen was doing with the under-21s, and then people were saying, and look at Mick, he's struggling, he's got sacked in Cyprus. Now, I didn't feel that was fair on Mick, and likewise, I don't think it's fair on Stephen that people now saying, well, look what Mick's done at Cardiff. There are a suggestion that there's an agenda. I don't think there's an agenda as such. Well, I hope there isn't, but there's certainly preferences amongst the supporters on who they wanted the manager to be. And when they have every indifferent result or loss like last night, it does cause you a massive amount of pressure.
Yeah. I think those people who want him to fail are just a very loud minority. And I don't actually know what they want. Genuinely, I don't know what they want. What do they want to go back to? Who do they want to get in? I mean, we can go and get Neil Lennon and do whatever. I mean, can I get your sense, David, from being in the stadium? Because I suspect you're watching more of the Jason Knights and the Josh Cullens and the Alan Browns than certainly I am. You know, I'm mainly seeing them for Ireland because, you know, I just can't watch everything. So last night, I probably like Gary, I'm typing notes away here, and the sloppiness, for instance, like
Just cut across. No, just because I just had to clarify, because there was a mix-up with my accreditation with a late application.
Sorry, you didn't get in.
Because of COVID restrictions, then the press box was obviously very reduced, so I actually didn't get in. So I was working from home like a lot of other people last night.
Well, that is a disgrace. Snade should be first on the list.
Well, not when you apply late.
the sloppiness, though, because it's the same question really applies. Because I mentioned it to Kev and David earlier on. Their keeper puts the ball out of play. These are small moments, right? But I just want to get your sense of whether this is out of character for these players or if actually we have to have a reality check about what's possible for these players. 10th minute, their keeper boots the ball out of play very close to their own goal and you think, brilliant, Ireland have pressed them, we're away here.
Yeah.
Ball is thrown to Alan Brown and he just first touches it back out of play. You know, you lose all that momentum. Kieran Clark, Gary referenced, 3 minutes later, ball just passed out of play under very little pressure. It's a 15-yard pass along the ground. 45th minute, left-hand side. Ireland are on the break. James Collins has it and little outside of the foot. Dreadful pass. All that momentum gone. 58th minute, Brown has James Collins on an overlap. I'm not picking on those two players, by the way. It's just these were the ones that caught my eye. Brown has James Collins outside him. It's a 2v1, 58th minute, and defender intercepts it. 63rd minute, Jason Knight, so sloppy, pass to Coleman, ends up going behind Coleman, Ireland get pressed, it's back to, you know, an Ireland kick out. And these moments are littered throughout the match. These are just ones I happen to jot down. They're throughout the match. Now, Is this bad night at the office? Is this like confidence seeping out of the players so they're getting jittery? Is this pressure? Or like after at a certain point, if you keep making these silly mistakes, then that's just your ceiling as a player and we have to be real about that.
There was also a moment, I think it was a combination of all those things in terms of the game, where the confidence was drained from the players. But there was also a moment in the first half, I can't remember when it was, but when Enda Stevens just had a very kind of just lackadaisical kind of flick of the left boot and the ball went out of play. And like, that was very, very unlike him. It did just seem, and I mentioned it earlier, it did just seem as that when Ireland didn't make that early breakthrough, that the confidence was drained and Luxembourg just had a bit more, actually had a bit more smartness about them as a team, as a unit of how to deal with it. In terms of the players, if you look at that team, like there's championship players in there and there's young players in there and there's not a core there of lads who are in the real prime of their career. You're talking mid 20s, kind of playing at a really top level. It's kind of like a mishmash of fellas coming through, like kind of like James Collins, who obviously for all the will in the world is extremely limited. He's at Luton Town. He gets brought in, and you see his limit. You do see his limitations. You have Seamus Coleman at the back alongside Dara O'Shea, who's making his way in the game. You've got Kieran Clark, who's coming back into the fold. Like obviously Gavin Bazunu in goal, making his senior debut. You have like Jason Knight, who by all accounts speak to people in the game who has such a great attitude and application about him, and they feel he can go really far, but he's still making his way in the game, and has not played at the very, very top level. Then it just seems to be like a mishmash of what's there. If you look at the core, you kind of, Gary mentioned it earlier about the under 21s. If you go through that team, like you're talking like Troy Parra, Aaron Connolly, Adam Eade, Jason Malumbi, that's who the hope seemed to be, that these lads would have really big seasons over the last couple of years and really kick on in their careers. And like football is rootless, and it can chew you up and it can spit you out, and things never go straight to plan. And it just hasn't happened yet. It just hasn't, like there are so many young players in around that squad. Now that doesn't necessarily mean, oh well, there's young players there, so that means everything's going to be great in 5-6 years, because you never know where these lads are going to be. Like they have to do it for themselves in their career, and they have to really kick on. And it's what's lacking really is throughout that team is, like you're talking about fellas, I was trying to look at them, like in that team, like you're talking like in their 20s, mid 20s, 25, 26, 27, how many of those lads are in the Premier League? You're probably looking like, John Egan will come back into the team, obviously, but he's going to get relegated. Callum Robinson at West Brom, who started last night, like he's going to be gone. There's no lads in that team who are kind of, I know I'm going back in the 20s again, but like you're thinking, do you know what, these are in that prime. These lads are really going to be kicking on. And that's why I think if in terms of this like project with Kenny, that's why there was so much enthusiasm for him with the job. And it could have been him or anyone, because he was coming in with this enthusiasm and a bit of positivity and trying to get across a message that had been lost in Irish football a little bit. Now, you can do that and say that, but what he's needed to do to kind of improve his own standing and be able to just work a little bit, made this point in the piece of the Irish Examiner, to almost like work in peace and give himself that little bit of credibility and stability in the job, was to have shown by now that there will be that progression. And I do think there will be. I don't, as it's clear now, it's not just going to be straight up and everything's going to be kind of going from A to B, and it's going to be great. There's going to be these serious bumps in the road. This is a massive, massive one now for him in terms of the scrutiny he's going to be under.
Yeah, I think we're all passionate, aren't we, in terms of the Irish team. I don't think it's rational thinking at times. But certainly, Joe, going back to you were just saying about Knight and Cullen and giving the ball away, I've seen a lot of Josh Cullen playing for Charlton when he was on loan there, and lovely footballer continuity. So I was always thinking, oh, come on, I want to see you get your chance for Ireland. Likewise with Knight, I covered Derby in the FA Cup this season, so I had to watch a lot of their games, and really, really proud of how he plays, tenacious, covers the ground, great attitude, Knight. And I think, if I may, I think a lot of players will tell you that it probably takes about 15, 20 caps before you feel really comfortable within your surroundings. Mm. And that might be someone who's regularly playing in the Premiership as well, to then suddenly play for international football with the pressure that's associated with it, the pride that you have in playing and the responsibility that you have. But I think certainly something this group of players have to learn is how they cope within those pressure moments. I think late on in games, certainly against Serbia, I don't think they're managing the game particularly well. And what I mean by that is not just, it's just an understanding of where, listen, you are fatiguing, you are getting tired, so get yourself in a good position, recover, just look around at your teammates, just adjust people all around you. And I think what made me think about people saying about, write this campaign off and let's go again in 4 years' time, I was the opposite. I was like, no, listen, in the back of your mind, after two defeats, you might well be saying that. But in the players' minds, they have to know and be able to cope with the pressure of playing for Ireland when, if you lose matches, it costs you a major finals. Don't say to them, listen, well, it don't really matter for this one. We'll concentrate for the next one. Because they'll never learn how to cope in those last 15 minutes then. That's the problem. That's where you win and lose. That's the fine line between qualifying for major championships, is whether or not in those hard moments you're still difficult to play through, you still impact on the opposition. And that's what these players need to learn.
So the optimistic view of last night in particular, and maybe this campaign, is that there is enough in the likes of Cullen and Knight, and you've seen it, and these are just difficult growing pains. They're going to have to go through a night like this and learn from it very quickly. And therefore, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, of course. And I do think they have the ability. And I've always said this about these Irish players, even in Martin O'Neill's time. I do think they're capable of so much more, certainly with the manager before, the Italian. What's his name? I can't remember it. Oh, my God.
Trapattoni,
God. That shows you that so often he was saying these players not good enough. And we hear it and it drives me mad, because perhaps they're not playing at Premier League clubs, but even the skill set of all Irish men, women, children, in terms of the national sports, how skilled they are to be playing the hurling, the Gaelic, rugby, boxing, all those things. We're an incredible sporting nation. So don't listen to people saying that. Have that belief. These players are playing for Ireland at elite level.
Sure.
They must be able to play football.
It's what made some of the basics last night so frustrating, isn't it, though?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Like,
I
often think of like the best players I played with growing up as a kid, because we can all relate to that. And the best players in the year were phenomenal. And they weren't within an ass's roar of professional football. So can you imagine how good the guys are that make it? Do you know what I mean? And then you have the mistakes that you see last night, the sloppiness, and you're kind of thinking, just doesn't add up. Just doesn't.
Yeah.
And you know, on the youth point, you know, David makes very fair points about youth. And it's funny, even last night, I was thinking, God, you know, that Vincent Teal lad is really good. You know, he looks about 25, 26, peak of his powers. And then you find out he's 21 years of age. You know, he was really good for them. Or even Vlahovic the other evening for Serbia, he's the same age as Aaron Connolly. And that's where you kind of stop and worry and you think, Gary, oh, is this generation we're really pinning our hopes on? I mean, have we overestimated them, if we're being frank? Like, I really don't feel Stephen Kenny has a great hand to pick from at the moment. It's just the brutal truth.
Well, it was a huge pressure to put on those under 21 players a year ago, saying that they're going to be the new generation, because they're like you said, from under 21s to senior international football, there's so many, like, there's a journey that they have to go on, that they have to get regular games at their club. And I know the Irish team's not picked on club form, but at the same time, how's Malumbi's development going to be served when he can't even get in his league club team? That's the frustration. He's going on loan to Preston. He's not playing enough games. And the flip side of that is, look at Knight playing so often for Derby now that he's become a key man at such a young age.
Captain.
Worn the captain's armband. So, listen, it just shows you this is a journey for these players and we need to support them.
Mm. What about Stephen Kenny? David, were you plugged into the press conference afterwards? We played some of what he had to say at the start. His demeanour on TV, obviously, just incredibly disappointed. I got the sense he was just, even though there were a few mitigating circumstances between COVID and injuries and then those players who aren't fit enough maybe to play 290 minutes in the space of 3 days, my overall sense was he was just at pains to, I can't make excuses for this, I'm not going to make excuses for this. I thought, you know, he handled that interview as well as you probably can.
Yeah, it would have been silly in the extreme to come out and try and make kind of excuses or try to put any kind of positive on that, because, like, there really was none. Can I go back? I think he was maybe in a bit of shock almost, just in terms of just the level of the, just the just the performance and just how poor it was. And I think that's, I genuinely think that's what took a lot of people back, because you're kind of thinking after Serbia, and it's just a sign of how long it will take, maybe, if this is the way we're going to go with how we're changing, where, like, it's bits and bobs, it's expelled in games here and there. That's really what we're clinging to. I know, obviously, it was against Slovakia in the playoff, that was a really solid performance, and at times against Serbia, it was, but, like, you're just looking at the team, and at times against Serbia, I thought the midfield functioned really well together in terms of, like, had that blend of, say, Cullen, who kind of was a bit more, kind of just almost reserved a little bit, you kind of, like, sat, and then you had the energy of Malumbi, and then you had the kind of maybe the forward thinking a bit more of Brown, and it did seem to work. But then I've mentioned those players, and you're talking about Alan Brown, who's playing with Preston, you're talking about Malumbi, who's obviously on loan at Preston from Brighton, and Josh Cullen, who's gone to Anderlecht to try and get regular games. Like, it's going to be the nature as well, where, like, these lads, even though obviously they're internationals for Ireland, like, the nature of where they are, they're still going to be inconsistent. It's trying to get that consistency. Yeah. And Gary will, like, I actually be interested to know what it's like in terms of with Gary, in terms of how it was, but I don't think you can so much in international football say, well, there's loads of injuries, and COVID, I think, has to be in the conversation for, obviously, first, say, 9 games or so. But I think as an international manager as well, like, injuries, I don't think you can ever look at your team and say, well, I didn't have the full team, so that's the excuse. Like, there's always going to be players out of form. There's always going to be injuries. I think the sign of a manager who gets a grip with a squad is having the structure in place and having those foundations in place where maybe, like, you can deal with that a little bit, because you're, like, international football, you are never going to have everyone for and all similars. And, like, Gary will know, he's the expert here. He'll know what is needed when fellas come into camp and how you can get the best out, and when maybe things aren't going well from our club level.
Well, listen, I've said this so many times. We've had many players, and Joe, you referenced McAteer getting that famous goal against Holland, having difficulties with his club form or whatever. And we've all experienced it up to my record goal scorer, Robbie Keane, wouldn't have been playing for clubs at certain times. But you come back in within that group where you have an understanding of what's expected of you. You feel better about it. And these players, when they come with Ireland now, that's why it's so crucial for this squad's development that they got that elusive first win last night. And that's why it is so disappointing now that they didn't get that. And that kind of goes on longer now in competitive games. But there was a positive. I thought Bazunu was so impressive in goal. He really was. And just listening to him in this post-match interview afterwards, what an impressive young man he was in terms of, he hit the nail on the head. Yeah, I'm delighted about it, but the performance, we weren't quite there, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, yes. And we have got some talented players coming forward. We genuinely have. But it's a pressure time, because I remember being part as a young player coming into Mick McCarthy's team when he was taking over from the famous Jack Charlton era, in terms of introducing us young players, myself, Kev Gilban, many others. And us having to prove that we're able to play at that level. And that's the challenge. That is the challenge, because I've said it so many times. It is the greatest honour playing for Ireland. It really is. But it comes with a huge responsibility. You have to perform.
But one of the things, points I would make as well, I think it is important. I don't think anyone in like, maybe obviously it'd be different for the players will maybe have that belief, but going into a World Cup qualifying campaign, I don't think any fan or journalist would think, you know what, we should be qualifying here. Like, it's just something that, like, we've qualified for one in 20 years. What you want to see, and especially now when you've got a manager who's come in and has spoken so positively, is you just want to see a progression, and you want to see that there is, like, development. And you got a sense of that in the Serbia game, that you're like, yeah, okay, but then this feels like so many steps backwards. And that's what's going to be important next, is even for the players, but even for the manager, is getting through it. Like, the Qatar friendly, like, it's kind of looking forward to the game. So I'm almost dreading that game.
Yeah,
now.
It's a no-win scenario.
But
yeah,
David, why are you saying we can't? You didn't think we're not going to qualify? I don't understand it. Why? Why weren't we going to qualify at the beginning? Serbia just been beaten by Scotland. You know, I know, like, they've got some fantastically gifted players, but as a collective, they struggle. You know where some of our players are elevated by pulling on the national jersey? Serbia have really struggled with that pressure, bearing in mind the level they play at club. And also the disconnect between them and their supporters, the new manager, they just lost to Scotland. They were there for the taking. So I promise you, it's not my heart ruling my head. I think we could have qualified, or I think we could have challenged for that second place.
I don't know. I think 3-2 really flattered us the other night. I thought
it did in
Serbia,
the game. Yeah.
Serbia, different level.
No, I think it did flatter us towards the end, Joe, because, I mean, even Stephen Kenny saying he can only remember three chances. Well, I could about six or seven.
Yeah,
so.
easy.
But he said that, Joe, right after the game. Sure. He got watched back, and it's just how you felt the game went. But I prior to the game, I'm thinking, get a positive result there. Yeah, I wasn't writing off the competition. Why would I?
We are now, unfortunately, is where we are. A few texts in. Manager is the right idea in terms of trying to play the game. Passing, keeping holding the ball. The squad, unfortunately, lack quality in every department. Don't have the skills to play the way the manager wants. Trapattoni, McCarthy, O'Neill played a game to make Ireland hard to beat primarily over the last 10 years. No manager is going to change the culture of our international team in 10 games. Calling for the manager to go already is unfair. He needs time to implement his ideas, game plan. That will take years to transform Ireland's football philosophy, says Colin. Barry says, reality check is right. Nobody's saying we have the quality to beat a team like Luxembourg, because we don't. Well, we surely do to beat Luxembourg. Kiki says, we've completely lost our identity. We haven't done the groundwork at underage level to be in a position to play ticky-tacky football. That goes back to your point, Gary, doesn't it? That it's a black or white, all or nothing. It's either ticky-tacky or it's don't even pass the ball.
I just don't understand why it has to be the extremes. Why can't we be competitive, play on the front foot in keeping with how our national sports are? And play technically good football. It's not that difficult to keep the ball unopposed. And yet, unfortunately, last night we did struggle with it. But I don't understand, Joe. I genuinely don't. I remember seeing you guys talking the other night about how everyone's having a go at the off the ball lad, saying, oh, you're just disciples of Kenny. But I couldn't understand that the reference was just like, well, listen, if Kenny was to go, we've got to revert back to that. Why? And playing that from the back is not just a patent of Stephen Kenny. I genuinely believe every manager does it now.
Luxembourg
are
doing
play
it.
Football.
Luxembourg.
Exactly.
It's as if we think
it's the only way to play, and Kenny's the only way who does it.
But it's also this whole thing of that it's like ticky-tacky. Like, playing out from the back is not ticky-tacky. This is a bit of a myth. I don't think it's even a case of, even with Stephen Kenny, like, if anyone would have seen Stephen Kenny's teams play before that, like, the amount of emphasis that he would put on set pieces and say crosses into the box and playing quickly, like, this is like, when he's come in, he hasn't come in and said, oh, well, I want us to pass the ball 700 times in the game for the sake of it. He's come in, he wants to do, he said it, like, he wants to do things quickly, and he wants to play with that intensity, but he wants to do it obviously maybe a little bit differently, because that's, if you look at, camera's gone again, if you look at how the game is in world football, if, like, you'll get left behind, you have, like, it has changed, there's no way of, you can't get away from that. Like, and if you like, Ireland have already been left behind. You mentioned there about kind of like youth structures and like the game in this country. Like, one of the you hear the phrase, and especially when you go over and you do bits and bobs in Britain about it being an industry. Like, it's not an industry here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have kids who leave home at 16, and you say, right, go off, you go there now, and if hopefully you make it, and then we'll see you, and and hopefully you'll become a professional, and we'll call you in then and stuff. Like, it's gradually, it's had to change now, where in terms of those structures and having that link properly. But we're so far behind in terms of that, like, I haven't got the qualifications to say exactly how it's going to change or how long it's going to change. It's just whether or not, well, or we just have a top-down international team where you win at all costs if you can, and try and get to the odd tournament, get the few bob in because you need to keep things ticking along, or do you actually sacrifice it a little bit and say, well, the investment, if we can have that, and this is going to be really difficult because, like, you look at the state the FAI are in financially.
Yeah,
you have to build. I know it's an old argument, and you could hear for another 2 hours talking about it, but, like, you can't. I don't think the League of Ireland can be ignored anymore. It really can't.
Yeah, underage
structures in this league can't be ignored anymore because.
Yeah.
It's just, it's happened for too long, and unless it does change drastically like that, and something longer term is put in place. Yeah. We'll be having this conversation with a different manager in 10 years' time.
Probably. Sorry. Sadly, we don't have 2 hours. I don't even have 2 seconds. We're right out of time. But thank you so much, both of you. David Snaid, journalist. Thanks a million, David. And Gary Breen, thanks so much as ever. Cheers, fellas.
Thanks, lads. Take care. Good luck.
Cheers. David Snaid and Gary Breen with us there. Don't forget, on next week's Paddy Power Half Hour, we're continuing with our new segment, Near Miss, which is aimed at allowing you to reclaim a losing bet. If you've had a single bet or an accumulator that has let you down, take a screen grab, include your bet slip ID and send it into us either using the hashtag PPNearMiss on Twitter, a DM on Instagram, or you can WhatsApp 0879 18 180, and we'll announce the selected winners every Friday at the end of the Paddy Power Half Hour. You can see all the T's and C's at otbsports.com, and stay tuned to OTB social channels for more. Football on Off the Ball is with thanks to Paddy Power. For information on responsible gambling, visit gamblingcare.ie.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.